Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting with Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today. We have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is with us to help us find the answer in our Bibles. And Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bibles ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get them so that we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Our question today is from Alyssa. She has a question about Jesus. Now, Micah, what is Alyssa's question?
Did Jesus do his own will or God's will while he was here on earth?
Do you have your Bibles? Let's turn to John chapter 6 and verse 38.
All right, John is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 6 and then verse 38. So look for those little numbers once you get to chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 38. Aiden, what does that say?
For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
The words that Jesus spoke, the miracles that Jesus did, the places that Jesus went, all had to do with what his Father wanted. One of the greatest examples was when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. There, Jesus asked his Father to take away the cup of suffering that he was about to drink. But Jesus added this prayer, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So even when Jesus didn't feel like obeying, he still chose to obey. He still trusted that his Father knew what was best. And that's a great lesson for us too. When we choose to obey our parents, even when we don't feel like it, It helps us learn how to obey God when we don't feel like doing what we know he wants us to do.
Yeah. You know, like, God gave us our parents to practice. And that when they tell us to do something and encourage us to do something, and like, hey, I want you to do this, or please do this for me. And it's so easy, if we don't feel like it, to be like, no, I don't want to. So do you have a story that might illustrate that?
Yeah, you know, just the other day, when I walked out in front of our house, I found that one of our dogs had gone to the bathroom right next to our car.
And it was the obvious kind of bathroom, right?
It was brown and smelly.
Obvious. Okay.
And so I turned to one of my sons and I asked him to clean it up.
Of course, it's his dog.
And he didn't feel like cleaning it up. And I encouraged him. I said, no, really, we're gonna end up stepping in this and tracking it other places. This needs to be cleaned up. But he didn't feel like cleaning up. And so you know what happened? He gave reasons why he shouldn't have to clean it up.
Or his brother should clean it up.
And so while we're there talking, the dogs come up to us and promptly step in the pile. And then they were wanting to jump up on us.
Oh, yuck!
And they were wanting to climb up on the porch.
Yes.
And if we had opened the door and they had snuck into the house, they would have tracked that all over the house.
That is so disgusting.
It was. It was. And it could have been avoided if he had just cleaned it up as soon as I had asked him to.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times when God wants us to do something and we don't do it or we wait, it makes it a lot worse. He wants us to obey him the first time instantly, just like what Jesus did. He obeyed God, and he overcame, and that's how we have salvation. All right, Alyssa, thanks for that question, and you got a bonus story in there as well. We are glad that you asked it, and keep asking questions like that. You know, we want to be like Jesus, and just as Jesus did God's will, we want to do God's will as well. We are so glad that you joined us today. If you want to find more programs like this, go to our website, startingwithjesus.com. And we want to remind you to start each and every day with Jesus.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising him.
to this verse. It goes right along with our hymn. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Here's what it says. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. To those who overcome, we will get a crown of life, boys and girls. Then we will reign eternally with Jesus. What a promise.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall be lead. Tell every foe its banquet, and Christ his Lord indeed.
Hi, boys and girls. I'm glad you're back with me today. And today I have something kind of special. You might be hearing some birds in the background. You might hear a rooster crowing. That's my neighbor's rooster. So you'll probably hear them as we study and as we learn today. Before we get started, let's bow our heads and pray that God will be with us, that we'll put the distractions aside, and that we'll focus on Him and His Word. Lord, we are so thankful for this time we get to spend with you, that we get to learn more about you and how you revealed yourself to Saul. Please lead us and guide us just as you led him. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember what happened last time? Saul had been sitting for 3 days, blind and helpless. He didn't eat, he didn't drink, and who did God send to him? He sent a man named, do you remember his name? Ananias. He sent a man named Ananias to go to the house where Saul was staying. Well, do you think Saul was happy that God had sent someone to him? I'm sure he was. He must have been humbled. He must have been grateful. God had forgiven him, and he had sent someone to help him. When Ananias placed his hands on Saul, what happened? Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 18. Acts chapter 9, verse 18. If you haven't already gotten your Bible, you can pause this recording, go get your Bible. Let's look it up together. It's really fun to look up these Bible verses, and it helps us to get into God's Word and to learn more. Because you don't want to just take my word for it. We want to see it from God's word, his story. Acts chapter 9, verse 18. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 9. We've been going through the book of Acts this quarter, haven't we? The different acts of the apostles, the things that they did. We learned about Philip. We learned about Peter. Now we're learning about Saul, and we're going to follow his story, especially next quarter, because we're about ready to start the new quarter. Acts chapter 9. Once you find chapter 9, let's look up verse 18. Those are the little numbers below chapter 9. The books are divided into chapters. The chapters are divided into verses. So we want to look up Acts chapter 9 and then look for verse 18. Let's read what that says.
And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been stealth, and he was inside forthwith, and arose and was baptized.
So when Ananias prayed, something happened to his soul. What was it? Scales fell from his eyes. Have you ever seen scales? Well, if you look at a really close-up of a snake skin, that has scales. Also, when you go fishing and you catch a fish and they have scales, it's kind of like armor. It's where one little piece overlaps another little piece that overlaps another little piece. So when Saul was healed from his blindness, when his blindness went away, it was like scales fell from his eyes. So I almost imagine like little pieces fell from his eyes, or that's what it looked like to him when he could see. And then what did he do? He arose and he was baptized. Saul could see again. And now as a true follower of Jesus, he was baptized that very night. He must have been thrilled as he heard the words Jesus had told the disciples to use. Do you know what those words were? I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have you heard those words before? I've heard them many times. My husband is a pastor, and so when he baptizes people, that's what he says. He says, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Saul, who had tried to stop people from being baptized, was now a true believer in Jesus. And he would never stop being thankful. After eating some food, Saul talked with the believers in Damascus. He wanted them to know that he had changed. He wanted to show them that he was a new man. Then what did he do? Let's look at verse 19 and 20. I hope you didn't close your Bible. We're still in Acts chapter 9, and we read verse 18. Now we're going to read verses 19 and 20. Let's see what that says.
And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God.
He went right to work, didn't he? It says immediately. Does immediately mean right now, or does it mean when he felt like it? It means right now. He got up and he went straight to work. He went to those synagogues and he started preaching and teaching about Jesus. The believers in Damascus had all heard about Saul. And of course, they had been afraid of him, wouldn't you? If all of a sudden there was somebody that was coming to take you away back to Jerusalem, put you in prison because of what you believe, I would. Well, now he was a changed person, but did they all know that right away? It wasn't like they had Facebook or Instagram or something where he posts and he says, guess what, guys? I'm a Christian. No, they didn't have social media. They had to hear word of mouth. And then one person says, hey, did you hear about Saul? No, what happened? Oh, well, he's a believer now. What? No. Yeah? How do you know? Well, I heard it from so-and-so. Well, really? How did so-and-so know? Oh, well, I think they were there. It took a little bit of time for the word to spread that he was changed. He was different, and he wasn't there to arrest them. At first, they wondered if he had really changed, or was he just pretending to change? Was this a trick? Maybe he was really a spy sent by the priests and rulers. Let's read verse 21 and see what that says. I'm going to read it for you. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? They're like, wait a second. Isn't this the same guy? This is the same guy. Hey! Pretty soon, though, they knew that Saul had really changed. Let's read verse 22 together. Acts chapter 9, verse 22.
But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ.
You know, this time when Saul was in Damascus, preaching and teaching and probably even learning more from the disciples that were there, it was about 3 years. He was there about 3 years. And later, when some men, in verse 23 it says, now after many days, there were some men that were plotting to kill Saul, but the believers helped him to escape. They let him down to the ground in a large basket through an opening in the wall. So it was a city that had a wall all around it, and in order to get out, you couldn't climb down because it was probably too smooth. So they got a basket and tied it to a rope and put him in the basket and lowered him down. Look at verses 23, 24, and 25.
And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying away was known of Saul, and they watched him great day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in the basket.
Now, did he go down in the daytime or at night? He went down at night, through the wall, in a large basket. You know, many times Saul probably told the story about how Jesus met him on that road to Damascus. And if you want to read it for family worship, you are more than welcome to. It's found in Acts chapter 22, verses 6 through 21. You know, Saul had been like a person who was going in one direction and then all of a sudden turned around and started going in the complete opposite direction. He realized that what he was doing was wrong, and so he turned around and went the other way. It reminds me of a couple months ago, we went to visit the Grand Canyon. Now, the Grand Canyon is only about 3 hours away from us, and our friends from Colorado wanted to meet us there. In fact, you hear some of their kids' voices, Ian and Nolan, on this podcast when they read the Bible verses. Well, they met us in Grand Canyon, and we camped there, and we went exploring, and we wanted to find the rim of the Grand Canyon, but it wasn't in the park where everyone else went. It was down this gravel dirt road, and it was like 30 miles down this gravel dirt road. And so we filled up on gas, and we're like, we're going to go try to find it. So we didn't have a very good map, but we had some directions, and we started driving, and we drove, and we drove, and we drove, and we drove, going and going and going. And it was very bumpy and very rocky, and we kept going, and pretty soon we came to a gate. The gate was closed. So we went to look at the gate, and sure enough, it was unlocked. So we went through the gate, and pretty soon we came to another gate, and that was locked. But there was a house right there in the middle of nowhere, and it was a Native American who lived there. And so we said, hello, and he came out, and we said, we're trying to find the rim of the Grand Canyon. And the map and directions, they kind of say it's this way, but we didn't know. And he said, well, now you're on reservation land, and because of COVID, the reservation is closed, so all the gates are locked. But he said, there's another way you can go. If you go back out to that gate, and then you go up this road, the Park Service put in a detour to go around this little corner of the reservation. We said, okay, thank you. And so we went back out, and sure enough, there was a road right by that gate. So we started following that road. We followed it, and it got very bumpy, and you almost needed four-wheel drive, and the bushes were so close to the road that they were scratching up the cars. And pretty soon we got to a place where we just stopped, and we said, wait a second, where are we? Like, is this worth it? And so my husband, he got in our car, and he drove a little bit further, and then he came back, and he's like, well, it gets a little sketchy up there. The road gets pretty bad. He was like, so we should probably just turn around and go back. So we turned around, and we started going back. We were going in one direction. Our goal was to find the Grand Canyon, but we decided, nope, we're going to turn around and go the opposite way. And that's what we did. We went back, and we just ended up going to the rim in the park where there were paved roads and sidewalks and trails and all of that. But we were going one direction, and then we turned around, and we went the other, complete opposite direction. That's how Saul was. He was going one direction, persecuting the believers. Jesus reached out to him, spoke to him, said, why are you persecuting me? And Saul's life was turned around. He started going in the opposite direction. The very one the priests and rulers thought would be one of their strongest helpers now became a helper for Jesus. The very one they had hated so much. You know, Stephen, he died, didn't he? He was stoned. Saul was right there holding those coats as they stoned him. Stephen didn't know that because he died for Jesus, that made an impact in Saul's life. And Saul then became a powerful worker for Jesus. Can you imagine how happy they'll be to see each other? How surprised Stephen will be when Saul walks up to him and says, brother, do I have a story to tell you? Boys and girls, Jesus wants us to follow him, to trust him, to lean on him, in the good times and in the bad. He wants us to follow him and his path, the way that he has marked out for heaven. I want to follow him today, don't you? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much for how you made an impact in Saul's life. You stopped him, and he turned around and went the other way. He started following you and doing what you wanted him to do. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to do your will, to go where you want us to go, and to spread your message to others. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. It is our last day for our memory verse. It's a question that we should ask Jesus every single day. Lord, what do you want me to do?
Mark 9, verse 6.
Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do?
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.